of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The Gospel of our Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. The readings today have lots of pictures of Sabbath and a kingdom that cannot be shaken and a bent woman. And the commentaries, especially for the gospel, the commentary pointed out the obvious, that this is a story of many women. Being bent is a metaphor for her diminished status, and Jesus not only heals her, but he promotes her. I'd like to acknowledge that perspective and then set it aside, because I believe this story has broader implications in terms of Satan's burdens and access to the sacred, and it's more than just being a woman wanting it. You guys want it too, right? Yeah. So I'd like you to visualize the setting. In the synagogue, a bent woman appeared. She was quite bent over and unable to stand up straight. You see, she had been burdened by Satan. He's a controversial figure around here. We could do a TR on him, but he's not the topic today. In this story, oppression is one of Satan's burdens. The indignant response of the leader to her healing is also one of Satan's burdens. So I'd like you to picture the woman. She's bent. And when you're very, very bent, your breathing becomes shallow. Your lungs can no longer expand to take in air. Your eating becomes difficult. You can only have soft food, because really, when you're bent over, it's hard to swallow. And your walking becomes difficult, because if you're bent and your legs are straight, you're going to tip over, so you have to bend your legs and tip your hips, and then walking is difficult. And communicating is a problem now too, because I can't see you. There's no eye contact. And Jesus stood her up. You know how impossible it is to stand up straight after being bent for 18 years? So bentness is physical. But I believe this story is talking about more than physical bentness. I believe this story is talking about spiritual bentness, too, and about Satan's burdens and the healing that Jesus offers us. In our spiritual bentness, our baggage weighs on our spirit, our addictions and our presumptions and our ideologies and our expectations. And Jesus stands us up and frees us from all that. Thank God Jesus keeps saving us on Sundays. Thank God we have different understandings of Sabbath. You know, as Americans, Sabbath is very difficult for us to carve out. But this sermon isn't about Sabbath either. We could do another theological reflection on that. But here on Sundays, Jesus heals us and he saves us. And our leaders show us the way to Jesus. Our leaders here are not gatekeepers like the indignant leader in the gospel. Our leaders here show us all the possibilities. They're like doorways to the possibilities that each of us has to have a relationship with our Savior. I have been saved more than once on a Sunday. I have been saved from the bending burdens of Satan and restored and transformed by Christ over and over and over again. Because you know the thing about burdens, right? We set them down and then we pick them up. It's like a spiritual weightlifting exercise. Set them down and pick them up. So I have a story to tell you. While I was born into this parish, we left in the 60s or maybe as late as the early 70s while I was still a child. And I remember my memories of this church back then. I remember we had Sunday school back in the library and the parish hall was all hardwood floors and there were ballet bars and mirrors on the walls. And the room that is Father Jeff's office now was a stage. But my faith journey took me away from this place for a couple of decades. I came back to church probably 20 years after we left or so. I had a young child, Cameron, was only like 3 or so, and I was compelled to provide him with a Christian foundation. You know, I was the responsible adult, right? And so I landed in a charismatic fundamental church called The Vineyard, for about 4 years. They had a great band. I was 20-something. You know, it was fun to be in the band, being a doo-wop girl, shaking the tambourine, singing for Jesus. But what didn't work for me there was all the black and white thinking. Their interpretation of scriptures was very black and white. And all that fundamental claiming power stuff did not hold water in a conflict. And you know, communities of people are conflicted, aren't we? Anytime we try to do something together, we have disagreements. And so in that place, in that space, the relationships cracked, the church split, then it cracked and split again. And where did I go? I landed right back here in my spiritual home, St. Peter's. That was 20 years ago. In the first few months I was back, the words of the liturgy just poured over me like water. The balm, the beautiful words in our prayer book just poured over me like a balm and ministered to me every Sunday while I just cried in the pew. Well, when I could gather myself back together, I started serving. And now I serve on the Altar Guild, and I do a couple of other things, and I have lots of stories to tell. And sometimes I come to church like the bent woman and I get straightened right out by my friends here. Transformation opportunities abound in this parish. We have great preachers and intriguing teachers, and service on boards and committees afford practice and faithful accountability. and we look to see the light of God in each other's face. And we learn about handling the burdens we cling to while we're in community. I have done time on the finance committee, way back. See, done time, like prison. Yeah, way back in the day when Karen Kish so stepped in, and she is so very lovely and gracious, and she's wicked smart, and she is still serving, and she is a gift. Steve Bilyeu has done so much for us as well in the finance world. And then there's Phil Ritger, who every year presents the parish annual budget like an amazing person, because you think about this. For every useful line item that Phil presents during that parish annual meeting, the vestry and the finance committee have been slogging through bits, 20 bits of minutia for every line item, and I am so grateful for their service and their work in this parish. I have done time on the vestry. I've done a couple of tours on the vestry and even a rotation as senior warden. I've made decisions that really ticked some people off. And I've been safe in admitting my wrongs and asking forgiveness and being restored. And I am so grateful to be part of the life of this parish. Because of my service to St. Peter's, I appreciate the online giving program, because I can make the job of those volunteers easier by simply scheduling my pledge, my monthly tithe, or my weekly tithe, or my daily tithe, whatever works for you, and it works for me. Because I don't want to serve on the finance committee. No. But even so, you know, tithing is one thing, and we need to do that to keep this place salient and keep this place here. It's a very important piece of my life. But even so, money is just a tool. It buys the soul no redemption, no relief from the burdens we cling to. We have to be here for that. We have to be present for that. We have to serve. And we have to have relationships with each other for that. So our relief, our restoration to life is in Jesus. Here in this place, with each other, serving on teams, we face our burdens, we ask forgiveness, and we are given opportunities to be set free, especially on a Sunday. Take a minute.